We are sitting on the dock of the bay, and I don't mean the one in Baltimore. Whew. We are NH Unscripted. I am your Otis Redding-like host, Ray Dudley, and we are coming to you from the YMCA-like digs of the WKXL studios in Concord. You know the drill. Gather the kids around the Motorola. Put the Swanson TV dinners in the oven, and let's do this thing. You are listening to us either on 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM for the beautiful souls down in Manchester, and our URL is nhtalkradio.com. I'm going to give you some notes about what's happening out there in a minute. I need to first thank my sponsor, Lakes Region Fence in Guilford. Those folks are incredible. Matt and his group up there, I have seen their work up close and in person. Actually, I've helped them on a couple of jobs, to be truthful with you. LRFence.com is their URL, LRFence.com. Lakes Region Fence is an installer. They do all kinds and varieties of fencing, folks. Come on, tennis, basketball courts, all kinds of sports courts. They do property lines. They'll put stuff around your pool. Just LRFence.com. Go out and take a look. You'll be out there for hours, if not days, just looking around at what you can do. When you go out to LRFence.com, there is a button there for you so you can press it and get yourself a free estimate. When you're my age, we like things that are free. That's why we always use coupons. Oh, God help me. LRFence.com. Matt, we love you guys and we appreciate you sponsoring the show. Well, let me tell you about today. As we have said in some of our previous shows, my wife and I love to garden. We took over a property in Gilmanton, and you couldn't grow weeds on this thing. It was hard pack. It was terrible. It was all fill. And we started on this rabbit hole of trying to get things to grow. It eventually fell into the permaculture world. And that's where our guest comes in today. Amy Antonucci. Is that correct? Have I spelled that right? Did I say that right, Amy?
You got it.
All right. Let me read a blurb here about Amy, because I have a lot of questions for her. She has been involved in agriculture, the arts, and activism on the seacoast for 30 years. She's been growing food since 1995 on a local organic farm in CSA. She later became a certified permaculture designer. That's going to be key to our discussion. She transitioned to homesteading and teaching others. She now keeps poultry, goats, plants, and builds soil. That is going to be another key topic we're going to be getting into at Living Land Permaculture Homestead in Barrington, New Hampshire. She is also the main organizer for the Seacoast New Hampshire Permaculture and was proud to be named Leading Gardener of 2017 and Mentor of the Year 2022 by the Northeast Organic Farming Association of New Hampshire. Amy, welcome.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Amy, besides all the stuff that I just went over that you provided, if you would give me a quick, if you could, synopsis of permaculture in New Hampshire. What's the current state of it? Is it growing? Is it lagging? What's your feeling there?
I would say that it is growing. I can tell you that when I first started doing permaculture, you know, a couple of decades ago now, pretty much when I told people, yeah, I'm doing permaculture, they'd all say, perma what?
Exactly, yeah. I got that look myself.
The first thing people would say was, does it have to do with the permafrost in Siberia? Can't tell you how many people ask me that. And it's now been quite a few years since anyone had that question. So people, even if they don't quite, you know, grasp it. It's a, you know, big theory with lots of pieces to it, so that's okay. But people know what it is. More and more people are doing it. You know, really, 20 years ago, I went on a tour of permaculture sites in New Hampshire. I believe we went to 3 places, and we had to travel to every corner to hit them. And now, you know, there's dozens and dozens of places. So it has really gotten established here, and a lot of interesting things are happening.
So before we delve, it's such a broad subject. It is so, so broad and encompasses so many things. Give us a quick definition, in your opinion, of what permaculture is, and that'll give us a jumping off point.
Yeah, well, what I think of as a good definition is that permaculture is a lens through which we can look at the whole world, a lens that relies on learning from natural systems, the rest of, you know, the other than human creatures and systems on the planet, because they have been around longer than humans in a lot of cases, and they have tried and true methods for thriving. So that is how I think of it. That said, where it has been particularly applied and really proven itself is in food growing. So a lot of people think of it as gardening,
right?
But that's really just one place that it's been used to great effect.
Yeah. Are you finding, are there people in New Hampshire, do they tend to have a common question when they first ask you where they begin?
Well, I mean, I think usually people are coming with questions about their garden and how to, you know, how this is different than other kinds of gardens, what kind of plants, where they can find the plants, because in the permaculture world, we have kind of a broader view of what we might grow, and that's exciting for people, so they like to learn more about that. But it varies. It does vary.
So this is a little broader than just say organic, right? I mean, if you were to talk to people, they understand organic, but they kind of don't really get what the permaculture part of it is. Can you give us an example of, and I have some specific questions I want to ask you in a minute, but can you give us kind of an example of, like, for a beginner, what would you tell them to start? How would they begin?
Well, now actually this holds for organic as well. Begin with the soil is always a great place to start.
I'm glad you said that. Expand on that a bit.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, this is not different than organic, and in a way, it's not different than any agriculture. Just a lot of people so many people aren't involved in agriculture anymore. They're so divorced from it that they have lost some of the really basic tenets, I guess I'd say.
Yeah, it's true.
And that is that, you know, all life comes from the soil. That, you know, terrestrial life is based on it. We are based on it. We have to eat. That's the other reason that permaculture focuses a lot on food, because it is one of the just absolute basic necessities of our survival.
Yeah.
And it's really, I mean, literally rooted in good soil. And it is one of those things that in our current culture and system, soil isn't treated very well, and there's a lot of suffering of all sorts that happens because of that, including simply of our health.
Yeah.
Because without good nutrition, we just don't do that well. You know, we know this now. So many illnesses are based in poor nutrition. And one of the places that you start to rebuild that is in healthy soil. And also really speaks to the health of the whole, again, the whole system, this planet that we're living on. A healthy soils help, you know, atmospherically, they help in terms of the health of our water bodies. And again, they help us grow really good food that nourishes us.
You know, it's funny. You mentioned that so many of us have been So, oh, hang on a second. I'm hearing my bump music. Amy, right. Put a pin in it. I got some big questions for you.
Got it.
All right. Well, there must be lights burning somewhere brighter. Yes, NH Unscripted is the place where it's happening. I am Ray Dudley, your host, and we are coming to you from the gong show-like digs of the WKXL studios in Concord. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM. Those are both for Concord folks. 101.9 FM in Manchester, and our URL is nhtalkradio.com. We're going to be right back. Amy Antonucci is in the house talking permaculture. We'll be back. We are lost in a cloud with too much rain, trapped in a world that's troubled with pain. Except the joy is NH Unscripted. I am your Elvis Presley-like host, Ray Dudley. And we are coming to you from the dating game-like digs of the WKXL studios in Concord. You are finding us or listening to us anyway at either 1450 on the AM dial, 103.9 on the FM dial in Concord, 101.9 FM for the beautiful, beautiful souls in Manchester, or you may be streaming us live at nhtalkradio.com. That's our URL. I'll give you some more information on that later. Amy Antonucci is talking permaculture with me. Amy, I wanted to talk to you. So here's a quick story about soil building.
Right.
I grew up in Boston, knew nothing about soil, typical city folk guy. We move out to Gilmanton, and you couldn't grow weeds. The land that my property was on was just fill. But hey, I didn't know that. I'm a city guy. I get all my greens from the grocery store. So I'm going to plant some trees, I think. And did you know they don't grow very well in shadow and in dirt? I look out my window. I think what I see is soil. Huh. Did you know not all dirt is soil? I did not know that. So after a couple of years of struggling, oh, and also I planted on the wrong side of my house so that my plants were always in shade, never getting any real direct sun. Ah, city life. It's so good. So, I don't even know where to start. So, first of all, you have a website. Why don't you plug that for a second? Give us the URL. Tell us what's going on out there.
Sure. Well, my website is livinglandpermaculture.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we have, little updates on the various aspects of our homestead. Plus, I do a blog there. And we are also on Facebook, which is facebook.com, Living Land Permaculture. Mostly that's, pictures.
It is, because I've been out there and seen it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's where I keep people updated on what we're doing, what kind of, again, that's really got a lot of focus on the food growing, homesteading aspect of it. I'm also part of the Seacoast Permaculture meetup group. Well, we organize through meetup where we have classes, and now we do actually all these online book studies and things like that. And that is where we actually do look beyond. We have skill building and gardening, but we also have conversations about social permaculture, societal level, how to apply this theory to money and governance and everything.
Yeah, is there a URL for them as well?
Yeah, that one, actually, where I should make sure I'm saying it right, because it is just, meetup.com/SeacoastNHPermaculture.
And you have your PDC, right? Did I read that right? You are a permaculture designer?
Yeah.
Was that the Jeff Lawton course?
No, actually, I did it at UNH here.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, you know, yeah, a few years ago. This is like 20 years ago. They, during the summer, they brought in two designers originally from Australia, but then they were living in Maine for a little while. So they came and did like an immersion course for a few weeks, and I did that one.
Did anything surprise you when you took the course? Did anything like strike you as, oh my God, that makes sense, but I never thought about it?
Oh, geez, I'm sure it did. You know, I will say what mostly I think surprised me was how much there was to learn. What mostly happened is that at the end of the 2 or 3 weeks, I was like, oh my gosh, I barely scratched the surface.
Yeah.
And that's actually why we started the Seacoast New Hampshire Permaculture Group, because we wanted continuing education, really.
Yeah.
That those of us who went through it were still like, oh my gosh, I still don't know how to cut a swale or to really do a good sheet mulch or, you know, how to grow food. There was just so much left.
Yeah.
So we realized at that point that the design course was a great starting point, but it was really just the tip of, you know, the iceberg there.
Yeah, that's what I meant earlier when I said it's so broad. It's incredibly broad. But, and yet, I don't even know how to describe this. In one way, it's very simplistic. It's a, for the most part, an enclosed system. You don't want to have to necessarily bring in outside inputs, you know, like NPH or whatever. And what is it? Nitrogen, phosphorus, what am I trying to
potassium.
So, yes.
Thank you.
You don't want to have to keep putting that stuff all over your soils. What you want to do is start mulching up your leaves and getting some worms invested in this thing and getting things. So it's all kind of a contained system that you're monitoring like nature does on its own. So in one way, it's very simplistic. But on the other hand, it can be very, very involved. We had on my property, one of the things, I won't get into the story right here, but capturing water was huge. We had a lot of runoff and it was destroying things, carving its way through our driveways and ended up in our basement. And we ended up having, the solution was in the problem, and we ended up having to learn to how to capture that water, redirect it, and now it waters all of our plants, blueberries anyway.
Nice.
So, I was out at your website, actually your Facebook page. There's a couple of things that really struck me. Do you actually make your own salt?
Yes.
Okay. Take me on a little journey there. What in the world? I saw that. I thought, there's no way. There is no way that's happening over there.
What's so funny is that's like the easiest of all the things we do, and yet everyone is so blown away by it.
I was blown away. I thought, I've never heard of it. I know people who are salting their meat. I know people who are, but making their own salt, talk a little bit about that, because it's pretty unique.
Well, I guess.
You guess?
All right. Well, let me tell you what we do. We go to the ocean. We scoop up the ocean water.
Mm-hmm.
We bring it home. And we let it dry out. That's it.
Amy, tell me, who wakes up one day thinking, you know what? There's a big ocean out there. I'll bet we could get some salt out of that thing.
Well, most people used to. Because that's how, you know, they got salt. It's, you know, part of what's funny, I think, is that at the moment, we are sort of awash in things that should be not that easy to get. Salt is one of them, right?
Uh-huh.
People are trying to get salt out of their diets. But this is one of those things. If you don't get enough salt, your body can't make it. So it's absolutely critical to have in your diet. And it used to be something people were willing to do a lot of work and trade and, you know, to get. And now suddenly, everyone's thinks of it as like something we have too much of. It's, you know, one of these weird moments in history kind of things. But
Except I never would have thought of going down the ocean to get a bucket full and put it on my stove and let it dry out.
Yeah. And then, well, the other thing is that because I am down near the seacoast, and because some of the, you know, part of what permaculture does, we definitely learn from the larger systems of nature that we are embedded in. We also learn a lot from other people on the planet who have done a better job at living in a more harmonious way with their systems, okay? And so indigenous agriculture is how we think of it. And I particularly, because it's my background, I know my name doesn't really speak to this, but I'm half Irish. And so I did a certain amount of studying of indigenous Irish systems.
Yeah.
And as an island, that, you know, the Emerald Island, so
yes.
It's called.
Yes.
It's totally from seaweed. It's, you know, they hauled so much seaweed out of their oceans and onto their fields. This was
I did not know that.
Yeah. So, because otherwise, there's a lot of runoff. It gets a lot of rain. It's all running off. And that's how part of how land loses its nutrients.
Oh my God. And there needs to
be a recapture method. And where there are humans, they can haul things on like that.
Amy, hang on to that thought just for a second. I hear my music. My gosh, you are listening to NH Unscripted. I am your happy to be out of bed host, Ray Dudley. We are coming to you from the Get Smart Light conditions of the WKXL studios in Concord. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM, 101.9 FM for the beautiful blessed souls in Manchester. And our URL is nhtalkradio.com. I'm going to tell you more about that when we get back. Amy Antonucci's in the house, and we're yakking about permaculture. Be right back. Baby does the hanky panky because she listens to NH Unscripted. I am your host with the rabbit slippers on, Ray Dudley, because it's almost Easter time. You know what's going on down there. You are listening to NH Unscripted. We are coming to you from the Perry Mason-like digs of the WKXL studios, deep, deep, deep in the bunkers in Concord. 1450 AM, 103.9 FM. 101.9 FM for you folks in Manchester. Our URL is nhtalkradio.com. And let me enlighten you as to what happens out there. There is a button where you can listen to the live streams of this show and all the other shows that take place here. There is also an interesting archive of this show and all of the other great programs as well. Yeah, they're all found out there. nhtalkradio.com. This show comes to you every Wednesday and Friday morning at 9 a.m. And right now, I got to get back to Amy Antonucci. Amy said that she wants to talk about poop. Have I got that? Did I get that right? Did I hear that, Amy? Did you?
Well, it was one of the options.
Oh, it was. I see. Huh. I wonder how I landed on that. Oh, I know. I got a 13-year-old boy's brain. Amy, why is that important? Why did you even bring that up?
Well, you were talking about closing circles. We were talking about the importance of soil health.
Uh-huh.
And one of the ways that that typically that's been done, and some folks are doing again, is through the idea of diversified farms. That right now we often have these places that grow food that just do one thing. They just do vegetables. They just do animals. They just do grain. But really how people used to do it was to have the diversity on each farm that would allow for the cycling of nutrients. So you have your vegetable, you know, area, but you also have your animals, you have your pasture, you have, you know, various systems, the orchard, you have all these different systems that actually support each other, because that is part of what we learned when we learn our permaculture principles, that diversity is key, that different creatures eat different other creatures, and it all, you know, this nutrient cycling is absolutely critical to the health of any system. So, you know, for us, we have goats. They eat, they're great for this area. They, everything they eat is around us, and we can't really eat. I'm getting very little when I chew on an oak leaf or eat a piece of grass or try to choke down a big mess of raspberry stalks. But they can just gobble all that out and all that up and put out, well, milk, meat, and poop. And all of those things come back into the system to either feed me or the soil that then can grow the plants that I eat.
Yeah, yeah, that's well said. Joel Salatin is big in that, right? Isn't he the one who has the cows, and then behind the cows he has either the goats or the pigs, and then behind them come the ducks and the chickens, and that's a whole closed system there, right? Is that what...
Yeah, he has done a beautiful job of integrating on a larger scale than, you know, than certainly, well, most people in New Hampshire would have. He's more, is he Midwest? No, or maybe Pennsylvania. Anyway, he has more space than a lot of us. And, yeah, he runs various animals over the land in a rotational grazing kind of system that allows for, you know, everything to benefit from what comes before it and feed what comes after us and after it and build soil at a shockingly beautiful rate.
Yeah, and again, right, it gets back to that topic, building soil. The ingredients that get into, like chicken manure and duck manure and all of that stuff, it really is important. Now, we have a place on our property. We had chickens for a little while, and we don't anymore for various reasons. But where the chickens dominated that area, things grow there like the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
It is unbelievable what you can plant there, and it will just take off. They're not just like thriving. They're like past thriving. They're like Jack and the Beanstalk kind of stuff. It just takes off. And there's worms there, or there's all kinds. The whole system, we've got mycelium everywhere, and it really is quite a sight.
Nice.
You had a wonderful post recently of something I hadn't thought much about, besides salt, about yogurt. Right? A simple thing, right? Yogurt. And I don't think a lot of people understand, A, they could make their own. But you had brought up a point in your blog about yogurt, about the difference between springtime milk and winter milk. Could you elaborate a little bit more on, A, the process that you go through to make it, and B, why there was a difference between the milks for people who may not know?
Sure. Well, I guess first I'll say part of what's fascinating about getting involved in growing your own food is learning how different it can be from year to year, from season to season, just to understand it's not something that comes out of a factory, you know, pre-cut. It is a living world and system, and to start to learn how things like weather and drought and sun, you know, day length, it affects things, it's so interesting, and it's such a richer and more fascinating world than we sometimes notice.
Yeah.
And, you know, to be completely honest, I'm not entirely sure I even know some of the answers. What I know is that in the summer when, you know, living is easy, as they say, there's more food, there's more just more variety. You know, the goats have a lot of stuff they're eating, and a lot of it is green and kind of watery, and they make a lot of milk, but it's sort of thin. And in the winter, everything kind of shrinks. They're eating more hay and more, like we give them a lot of brush, so they're eating hemlock needles and stripping the bark off of things, and we bring them seaweed. And they get a lot of, actually, winter squash. We feed them a lot of winter squash in the winter. And there's way less milk, but it's really, really concentrated. And essentially, what I've learned is that the fat content, or the amount of fat, stays the same, but the content gets bigger when there's less, you know, when it's sort of less watered down in a way. So the milk in the winter is really thick, and it makes this yogurt that I can barely get out of the, you know, the jar. It's just, it's so thick, and it is so delicious.
Man, the pictures that you had, like the peaches, you had peaches, mm-hmm. and I think maple syrup or something on. Oh my God. What do you do to you have like a dehydrator? How do you make your own yogurt? Do you use the oven?
Actually, I just, to make the yogurt, I heat the milk on the stovetop to 180. I let it cool to 120. I put some, a tablespoon from the previous batch of yogurt.
As a starter culture?
Yep, as a starter. And I wrap it in towels overnight. That's it.
That's it?
Yeah. One of the, again, these are, this, you're like picking the easiest things to make. Well, I mean, I do actually, you know, like have to like raise the goats and build them barns and keep them fed and milk them and all that. But.
Yeah, yeah. The end result is easy.
Yeah.
Are you also had a post about bees. You have bees on your property, right?
Well, I used to keep bees. I'm not at the moment. I actually injured my arm, and I can't do there. This, it can be, it's really heavy lifting, so I'm taking a break while I am in physical therapy, but hope to get back to it. Yeah.
Would, if you had your druthers, would you continue to have bees on your property?
Well, yes, I would. They are not easy. They are, in fact, one of the things that we've had the hardest time with. Actually, they're by far the hardest. Everything else that we've done, especially organically, you know, when I first got goats, the people, you know, told me, oh, you can't do goats organically. They'll be dead in a month. I heard that so many times. It was so stressful. I'd wake up every morning and go, oh, I wonder if the goats are all dead.
Amy, hang on. I hear my bumper music. Okay. Oh my gosh. See, I knew we were going to fly by this hour. I knew it. You are listening to NH Unscripted. I am your happy to be out of the home, Ray Dudley. You are listening to us either on 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, or 101.9 FM in Manchester, or you heard us out at the URL, nhtalkradio.com. Amy Antonucci's in the house talking permaculture with me. Ooh, we're bumping gums. We got some stuff to uncover yet. We'll be right back. Nothing yet. You are listening to NH Unscripted. I am your Bachman Turner Overdrive-like host, Ray Dudley. Happy to be doing this show. I can't believe they let me actually do it. You are listening to us either on 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, or streaming us on nhtalkradio.com. Amy Antonucci is in the house. We are bumping gums about permaculture. Amy, before we get too deep into the weeds, could you please give me some URLs once again for folks who might want to find out about permaculture?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, let me give you this one, seacoastnhpermaculture.org. That brings you to our group, and from there, actually, you can click some things to either go to our meetup page or elsewhere here.
Okay.
Also, my own personal homestead, livinglandpermaculture.com.
All right. Excellent, Amy. So, you know, Amy, one of the great things about, well, living in New Hampshire, I guess it'd be anywhere, but is taking the tour of some of these permaculture farms.
Yeah.
I've been out to, like, D Acres. Well, yeah. They're now... the Hummingbird Center. But I was up at a farm in Tamworth, again and again, farm up there. And when you take these tours, you learn so much. So much is happening. On one hand, everything looks chaotic because you're, what you don't know is that it's all symbiotic and things are, you've got nitrogen providers over here and you've got pollinators over here and they're all working symbiotically to create this beautiful system, but it can look very chaotic, right?
Yeah. Yep.
I know people who, I mean, and this just gets crazy after a while, but you know, if you go far enough, you're getting into like outhouse kind of stuff. Wait, are you familiar with Paul Wheaton?
Yeah.
Yeah. What a great website he's got, permies.com. Oh, my God. We ended up building a rocket mass heater in my house because of that, trying to save on wood. And oh, it's beautiful. But, yeah, you get into like these he's got those outhouses. He's got yurts. He's got, my gosh, he's had Sepp Holzer out there as they're digging swales and building hugel culture beds. Oh, my gosh. I wanted to get back to bees real quick. You were starting to talk about why they're so difficult. Could you elaborate a little bit more on that? Because it doesn't seem like it would be that tough. Expensive maybe to me, but why is it so difficult?
Well, yeah. First, though, let me say, you just brought up a great point. The tours are a fabulous thing to do. And I'm actually in the middle of setting up our series of summer tours down here. So that's one of the things that if you want to get into this or even want to think about getting into this, I highly recommend that. I'll be doing one at my place that we do have hugel culture beds and swales and a lot of sheet mulching and can, you know, show folks all these systems. And I have three other places that we'll be doing, including my friends over the border in Maine who have been growing all their own grains, 100 pounds of wheat, 100 pounds of grain corn. They're, you know, almost entirely self-sufficient food-wise
and
otherwise. So there's so much that can be done that, like you've been saying, you wouldn't even think.
Right.
Making your own salt. So, I highly recommend doing just what you just said, and that is getting in on these tours, going, checking out what people are doing, and
it's a great way to spend a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. I mean it. If you have any inkling at all about doing gardening, take one of those tours. I mean, it's jaw-dropping what's going on out there.
Yeah, it's really cool. So bees.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm not sure I completely understand why, except that what I can say is that bees are seem to be maybe insects in general, but certainly bees have this, you know, we think of it as the canary in the coal mine kind of thing. They're sensitive.
Yeah.
And when there's issues in the larger system, they get hit. And there are a lot of issues right now with pollutant kind of, you know, chemicals in the environment. I mean, our agriculture generally is not organic right now, which means it uses a lot of chemicals that are particularly, well, frankly, a lot of them are insecticides. They're actually meant to kill insects.
Right.
So it's not exactly shocking that we,
that we kill them all.
Insecticides on everything and wonder why the bees aren't happy.
Yeah.
And then there's also an issue with different pests and diseases that have been really running, you know, they're it's along the lines of some of this sort of, you know, it's normal for things to move around, diseases to shift, et cetera, but it's happening at such an accelerated rate right now, whereas with air travel and other things going on and trade, something that maybe would have taken 100 years to move around the globe can be around it in months, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've literally seen this. And this is meaning that some of these diseases that are and pests that are plaguing the honeybees, they're just, rather than one a decade or a century, they've had like 13 new viruses and 4 new pests in the past 20 years. And they're really struggling. They've also been bred in human systems for things like high honey production and gentle behavior, which you can understand why, but they have not often been chosen for being tough.
Yeah, hardy, yeah.
Yeah, because again, that it's sort of a newer thing that suddenly they're getting thrown all this at them at once. So it's sort of like a bit of a, you know, perfect storm kind of thing where there is things are really tripping them up.
Yes. You know, it's funny. I was talking to someone the other day, and I was telling about our garden. My wife, she loves to plant pollinators. And when her plants are in full bloom, it sounds like a wind tunnel out there. Bees are everywhere. It's humming. It's like high electrical wires. You know that hum from wires?
Yeah
it's just like that. Are you familiar with the Slovakian beehive? That's fascinating.
The caravan kind of ones.
Well, the ones where they build them like into a shed so that half the hive is outside, half the hive is inside, and in the winter they can continue to get honey and stuff. I don't know how it all works, but my wife was looking into it. If I got that right, is that how they work?
Well, I haven't used them myself, but we had presentations at the bee clubs about them. A few folks in New Hampshire really are in love with them, and they're very cool. That said, they still are going to have the same issues with disease and our weird winters. That is another issue. There's a lot of interconnected problems with bees. I'm not telling folks not to do it. I used to teach a lot of beekeeping, and I mean, bees are awesome because, like, when it works, you don't get lettuce, you get honey, you know? It's
right.
Hard to say no to that.
Yeah.
And I do plan to get back to it, but it is, you have to have a certain thick skin because it's very normal in the spring to open up your beehives and have them be all dead.
I would be heartbroken. I would be heartbroken.
Oh,
my God. So you wanted to touch, before we go too far, also on beginner gardens. Is that right? Like, for newbies, give some direction for that.
Well, I guess what I would say is that I really encourage people to get into growing their own food as one way to be a part of something that is really, it literally feeds you and your body, but also your soul. It connects you to this larger world. It's just a really joyous and wonderful thing to be involved in, especially in times when the news and such can be pretty depressing. So it is really nice to have something to be involved in and something that you don't have to even have your own land. That's one thing people say, well, I don't have my own land. I can't do any of this. But there are more and more efforts towards communal land management, community gardens, land trusts, all sorts of ways, you know, connecting with a friend. Doing these things together with other people is part of the joy.
Yeah, I know in Concord they have community gardens.
Yeah.
My son, he lives in Rhode Island, and the apartment building that he was living in, they had like a community garden where all of the people, it was central to the apartment building.
Yeah. So you don't have to own anything, you know. Ownership is a bit of a story we tell ourselves anyway.
Yeah.
So but getting involved, and what I do like to tell people is start small, start simple, and learn and ramp up if you want to as you go along. The biggest mistake I see people doing is, especially when they do manage to buy something, the first year they start a garden and they start an orchard and they get a bunch of pigs and they get chickens and they get all these things, and I pretty much know within 5 years they will be doing none of it because they're going to get overwhelmed and fail.
Amy, so, I hate to say it. That is a perfect point to stop. Oh, my God. Perfect. Amy Antonucci's been in the house. What's your website again?
Livinglandpermaculture.com.
Thank you for being here, Amy. NH Talk Radio, that's what you've been listening to. I am your host, Ray Dudley. You are listening to NH Unscripted, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. And again, nhtalkradio.com is the URL. See you on the next one.